Welcome, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. We're glad you're joining us today. And we are Beacon of Hope Ministries, and I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and soon will be Betty from Indiana and Cindy from Idaho. How about that? Our radio team is expanding, and so we appreciate all these dear ones who join us. Nana's actually in the studio today, too, so that's pretty cool. And we love those dear people on Truth Talk that come right on before us. And they're always powerful. What a great show they always have. So if you missed that, next time catch them a little earlier, which would be great. So let's get these dear callers in here. And I think I have both of you on. Okay, who's first? Betty, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. Cindy, are you there?
I am indeed here.
Well, Betty, meet Cindy. Cindy, meet Betty. Because you two don't know each other. So.
We do not, but she's the prayer warrior. So.
Yep, she's the prayer warrior. And Betty and her husband and Megan, her daughter, who was on last Sunday, were part of my church in Indiana that I pastored Cindy. And Betty, Cindy was a part of our church here at Beacon of Hope before she moved out to Idaho. So we got Indiana and Ohio today.
Idaho.
How about that? Indiana and Idaho, yes.
Idaho, yes.
Yeah. Crazy. Yes. All right. So I love that about our radio team. That we got Cindy Logan also that's up in Indiana. So we're kind of spread around, and that's a good thing, I think. So really good. I'm excited about this show today with the two of you. Nan's here in the studio. And you know what? Hey, Nan, wait a minute. Let me get her mic on so she can respond to you. Go ahead, Nan.
Hi, how are you guys?
Fine. How are you, Nan?
I'm doing great. Enjoying the weather down here. It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know where it is with where the two of you are, but here it's like 75 and sunny and gorgeous. So.
A little bit chilly today.
Yeah, up in Indiana. Yeah. Well, it's beautiful here. I'm really looking forward to this show because we had a powerhouse service today, and just the anointing of God so strong and powerful, and he wants to do some mighty things on this show today. And we are still in our series, The Power of Love. Actually, the power of his love is amazing, isn't it? So it's just going to be great, really good with both of you today. So, and also, I don't know, I haven't heard the outcome, Betty, of the Purdue-Butler game. Do you know? Is it over? Did Purdue win? Or do you know?
I don't know yet.
You don't follow March Madness, huh? So, that's all right.
And West Virginia and Marshall play this evening.
Oh, okay, and you're West Virginia, and that's correct, yes. So,
yes, but Marshall's in West Virginia, too, so it's a win-win.
It's a win-win. All right. So, yeah, so there you go.
Let's go Mountaineers.
Mountaineers. Okay.
Mountaineers.
All right. That's good. Well, Hoosiers are Indiana, so, and we're kind of Gator fans down here.
That's the wrong school.
What's that? What's the wrong school?
If you're in Indiana, you go to Purdue.
I know. That's why I ask if Purdue or Butler won. My dad went to Butler, graduate of Butler, and my daughter-in-law Mary is a graduate from Purdue. So that's why I wondered who had won out there. So probably Purdue because they were ranked a lot higher. But I guess that doesn't even matter sometimes.
Actually, it doesn't matter
actually
anymore.
Purdue did win by 3 points.
Okay. All right. All right. There you go.
Yay.
All right. Here we go. So that's good. We follow that March Madness. So,
amen.
And this time of year is always the time that we start to really talk about the resurrection. And we're going to be talking about some events starting on the night before the crucifixion. We're going to talk about Matthew chapter 26, if y'all want to grab your Bible and join us. And just a praise report from either one of you. Anything going on you want to praise God about before we get to this first song? Go ahead.
This is Cindy. Last time I was on a couple weeks ago, I'd been going through a really lonely time. And I hadn't actually gone to church for about 6 weeks.
Wow.
Which is which is extremely rare for me.
Yeah.
I would wake up and I couldn't even get out of bed to go.
That is very rare for you. Yes.
It is. But God was working in that time.
Okay.
I think I needed rest. I think my body needed some rest and my mind needed some rest. But yesterday I went to our women's group, Women's Word Shop, yesterday morning.
Good.
And we had a special speaker. Even though I love my pastor, Shara, who runs Word Shop. She's amazing. We had a special speaker, Pastor Robert Mosbach, come in from England.
Wow.
And the teaching was just right on.
Cool.
What I needed. It energized me. It enthused me. And then he's preaching there today. So I went to church this morning, and the worship was awesome, and then the message. And so I feel something has changed.
Fantastic.
And
you're pumped to give out the word today, aren't you? I can feel
exactly,
it in your voice,
yes,
Cindy.
I am.
Wow. What a blessing. And Betty, talk to us. Praise report.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, my life revolves around the Lord, but sometimes it also evolves maybe around animals. And one of my horses was doomed for going to be with Jesus.
Uh-oh.
And
is that Pokey?
It was Pokey.
Mm-hmm.
She had some difficulties in her hooves that she is in the horse world called rotations because she had foundered. She's actually a diabetic horse.
Oh.
And she got too much sugar, and it affects her hooves. Well, we've been doing some corrective shoeing and some medication and stall rest, which means she's in a stall most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to her large animal veterinarian last Tuesday.
Okay.
And he took x-rays. And, of course, the whole time, you know, I've laid hands on her. I've prayed
yes,
God
sure.
for healing.
Yes.
Because God does love our animals.
He does.
And so the doctor called me and says, Betty, you need to see this. And, of course, you know, I started to lose faith, I have to admit. And then I walked in and he goes, your horse is sound.
Whoa.
And what that means is that the bone was actually pushing through the sole, was going to almost pushing through the sole of her foot. And her foot had raised and was in perfect alignment. And the other hoof is starting to come back up too.
Wow.
So, you know, that definitely in the equine world is called a miracle.
we'll take that.
I trusted and believed God. I mean, there were times that, you know, I had lost faith. And, you know, God, where are you in this situation? You know, if you're going to take Pokey, take her now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the hurt, the feelings that you have for your animals is just,
sure.
for me, is just. It's
absolutely
pretty big.
Yeah.
And when he told me that, I mean, just in the middle of the clinic, praise God, you know. And I shouted it at the top of my lungs.
I bet you did.
I believed and God came through. Woo. It was just one of those things that now we have to be careful. She has to be in shoes the rest of her life. But the Lord saved her. He
praise God.
He gave us the wisdom to be able to know what to do. But I also believe that, you know, sometime during the night that the Lord was in that stall going, okay, now, Pokey, your mom's been praying for you.
Right.
And
get with it.
I'm going to see you through on this. And I mean, just, you know, the smallest things,
yes.
the biggest things in our life, you know, God comes through. That's why I love him.
Amen.
I love him.
Absolutely. Yes.
It's not, it's because of who he is. It's why I love him so
Amen.
Much. And I praise mm-hmm. God for His loving kindness, his mercies, and his grace.
Woo! That's why he's our wonderful, merciful Savior.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer.
Who he is, dear ones. He's that wonderful, merciful Savior. He is the one we praise, the one we long for, the one we want to talk about. And that's what this show is all about. It's about our wonderful, merciful Savior and how much we love him. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to start with about verse 26. And we're going to begin because we've got just 2 weeks till resurrection morning. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday. The next Sunday will be what a lot of people call Easter. We like to call Resurrection Day. And so we've got a lot to talk about in the next couple weeks. It's really going to be vital to the foundation of our faith. And it starts here in Matthew 26, verse 26. And I want you to know the timetable here. We are on Tuesday night before the crucifixion the next day on Wednesday afternoon. Now, yes, it has been taught for a long time that Jesus was crucified on Friday, but it is not the case. He actually was crucified on Wednesday, and exactly and precisely at 3 p.m., he passed away, gave up his spirit, and because that was the exact moment that the Passover lamb was slain in the temple. So this was exact. The timing was of God the Father. It started actually before this Tuesday night, but we're going to start here on Tuesday night with the Last Supper. And when we say the Last Supper, it was the Last Supper. We don't know of any account of Jesus eating after this, unless he was carrying some snacks in his robe, and I kind of doubt it. So think this was literally the Last Supper. And so we see here in Matthew 26:26, during the meal, Jesus took and blessed the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins." And as he is declaring this, he is telling them in advance what is about to happen the next day with him going to the cross. But of course, they don't know that and they don't realize that. And the significance of the cup and of the bread is vital even today in each of our lives. And we all probably understand that, at least the three of us do. The importance of taking communion, the importance of remembering mm-hmm. Jesus. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's talk about this cup and the bread and why this was the last act with all the disciples there, the last thing he did. Betty, talk to us a minute. And the significance of this is just vital. It's so important to the foundation of our faith.
Well, if we believe, and we do, when we take that communion, we're taking his body because it was broken. We take the blood or the grape juice or the wine because
right.
that was the blood that was shed.
Yes,
for us
significant, signifying that.
That
yes,
is, there is a significance in Matthew 26:26 because Jesus did that, my friend, for you.
Right.
He took that upon himself, and it's just. And always in the communions, even when we did it at Beacon of Hope,
yes.
we did it at Cornerstone, is do this in remembrance of me.
That's exactly right.
And that's what he wants us to do every day. Is
as often as we can.
Him.
Yes, yes.
Every day, every, just seems like that we don't take the time to do that remembrance. We don't take time to understand why he was broken. Why his blood was shed, and why it just when you take communion, it's such a. I could imagine what the disciples were thinking. You know,
wow.
Why are you calling this the Last Supper?
Right.
Because not knowing,
not understanding,
unless a lot by people today don't understand, and that's
exactly right.
Important shows like this that you get over the airways and you tell people exactly what Christ did. And what all went on.
And I think go ahead, finish that. Go ahead.
It's so significant. I mean, this
is
probably one of the most significant times before he went to the cross.
Right.
Of what he was, the last, and it makes me cry because it's the last thing that he did with his disciples before before they took him away. And he wanted so much to have that. He wanted to show them what love really was. He wanted to show them the last great thing that he can do for them. And that's why he did. He wanted them to remember him.
Exactly.
And that's just my opinion.
No, that's it. That's what he said. Do this in remembrance
exactly
of me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so often we get into church situations sometimes, and maybe some of our listeners have been in churches where they take communion every Sunday. We actually do that now at Beacon of Hope every Sunday, but there was a long time that we did not, just occasionally. But it can become such a routine that people forget the significance of it. Talk to us, Cindy, because it's so important that we keep the truth of this wonderful sacrament. Precious mm-hmm. to us, you know? Talk to us.
There's a book called The Meal That Heals.
Woo! The Meal That Heals.
Okay. I don't remember the author, but it's about communion.
Okay.
It takes you through a lot of the history, the Jewish traditions, just digs into what taking communion really means.
Right.
And it's his contention and belief that this act of remembrance can heal your physical body.
It definitely can.
Right. And your situations and your circumstances. That's the first thing. I believe this is possibly the beginning point of God putting us into Christ.
Right.
And I think that, for me, is the significance is this is where it starts.
It is. Yes.
I mean, it actually started with the creation of the world. The Bible is a resurrection story, not just Jesus' resurrection. It started with the resurrection of the world that had been created and then was void
right.
for whatever reason. It goes through the children of Israel being resurrected out of Egypt.
Amen.
Joshua and Caleb, you know, conquering the land, resurrecting the Jewish empire, basically. David being resurrected from being a shepherd boy to king. You know,
right.
Every single story. Joseph.
I love that.
Resurrected from a pit.
Right. Hey, you.
A ruler.
It's exactly right. Yeah.
The Bible is a continuous resurrection story.
That's excellent.
All pointing to this moment right here.
This moment right here. Yeah.
Beginning right here in this garden where he's telling them now this is what's going to happen. This is the beginning of God putting us in Christ.
Exactly.
By the symbolic bread and wine.
Absolutely it is. And what's so interesting is that it's something that we're created creatures of habit, I suppose. But a lot of times we need reminders to keep us on the right path, right? And what communion does here is when he said right here, taking the cup and thanking God, he gave it to them. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. God is a covenant-keeping God. And he reminds us of that with the cup. The cup is going to be the significance of the blood of Jesus being spilled for us, which he was going to do that very next day, within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. His blood was going to be spilled for us. And when we take communion, it is that reminder of what Jesus did. And it changes our thoughts and brings us back to in focus with we are God's children. He created us to remember this event. Talk to us, Betty, because I love this. Woo! I love this.
Well, communion, signifies exactly what we're going to be talking about here this afternoon, is that when I take communion, it's, asking God, and I've received so many miracles through communion.
Me
over
too.
The years.
Yeah.
And it's, it could be about healing. It could be about, overcoming the overcoming fear, anxiety. Those are things that, before you take communion is you examine yourself.
That's right.
You want to make sure that, God, when I take the bread and the blood, I want to make sure that I'm okay to take it. I'm saying this in very, very elementary terms is because I ask God, please forgive me, please wash
me
clean.
Yes, yes.
Because when that enters my body, I want it to do something. I want
mean
something.
Yeah.
And it does. It means so much.
Right.
As soon as you put the blood in there, okay, God, thank you. Thank you for shedding. Thank you for dying. Thank you for your body being broken. God, when he was on that cross, he took everything. He took cancer.
Yes.
He took fear. He took multiple sclerosis. He took everything upon that cross.
Amen.
His body was broken.
Amen.
And then when they started, they nailed it into his wrist and his feet, that blood was shed. So
Woo.
When you take that cup, I know you can just see. You can just see him, the blood just flowing.
Flowing from him.
Blood and water flowed from his side when they,
right.
when they pierced his side. And those are the times that when God says, do this in remembrance of me, is that what communion means to
yes.
me? Is God, I want to remember, and I'm glad you guys do that every week, because again, it's just a reminder
every week.
Of what every week of what Christ has done for us.
Since
and
we moved, yes,
we only,
yes.
Some churches only do it once a year.
Right.
But it's something that should, that one thing that should stick with us.
We've seen. Go ahead.
Everything. I mean, every day, that is a reminder of what Christ did.
Amen.
For us and the love that he had because he did it.
We need to be reminded of all that. We really need to be reminded. I love this next verse after when he says God's new covenant poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. And then Jesus says something very interesting. I'll not be drinking wine from this cup again. So we don't think he had another meal or anything until that new day when I'll drink with you in the kingdom of my Father, which reminds us of the Mount. It reminds us of what's going to happen someday when we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are going to be seated with him, and we're all going to be there at this amazing dinner. Talk to us, Cindy, before we go to this next song. Woo! Love it.
As the communion, I wanted to say that it's a renewal of the covenant.
Yes.
Every time you take it.
Right.
And you can order those supplies online and take it every single day.
Yes.
You don't have to be at church.
Right.
You know, it's not just a church thing. It's a symbolic
Amen.
Reminder and renewal of that covenant. And then as for the marriage supper, I really want to sit by Joshua.
Joshua, really? That's who you want to sit by, huh?
I have a fascination with Jericho. and I want to talk about how it felt and how it looked when those walls came down.
Wow, I love that. Well, you pass a note over to Betty and I so at the table so we can you can tell us what Josh was saying to you, will you?
I don't think our human minds can possibly fathom the billions of people that are going to be there.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, people from the dawn of time.
Right.
Adam and Eve.
Right.
Will be there.
Hopefully, they'll have their outfits on. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think we'll care because we're getting new bodies.
That's right. We're getting new bodies. And we don't care. We won't
glorified
care.
Glorified bodies.
Right.
So, you know, all these heroes of the faith.
Woo!
From the Bible and from our history. Mm-hmm. You can be walking down the street and smile at somebody, you may meet them in heaven at this
right
this moment. So
right.
I don't even think we can possibly.
We can't even. Our minds can't wrap around all this, can it? Really?
No. But it's gonna be quite the party. But, I know that.
You know it is. And what I love here is that Jesus himself says, "Wait a minute, you have no idea the significance of what you guys are doing right now." We're going to be drinking this cup together in the kingdom of my Father. Kingdom. I mean, this is another reassurance to us that there is the marriage supper of the Lamb that we are going to be eating and drinking in heaven, which is totally amazing to me. And I really like salmon, so I hope they might have some of that at some day. But, I mean, you know, this is reality. We are going to heaven. We're going to be there and going to enjoy his presence. Whoa.
We are there already.
We are there, yes.
We're
we just
already there because we're in Christ.
That's
Christ
right.
In us, we're in Christ, and he's at the right hand of the Father. So we're there already.
Woo!
We don't get to eat the feast yet.
Not yet. Mighty to save.
My God is mighty.
praise God. Shine your light on. Let the whole world see. That's what he wants for us to be doing right now. Our God is mighty to save, and we are talking about the last night before Jesus went to the cross. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Matthew 26, starting with verse 31. Cindy and Betty are joining me. Then Jesus told them, "Before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me." Now, I really like this in the Message Bible because so often we do just that, fall to pieces. You know what I mean, Betty? I mean, sometimes we know that God's working in our lives. We know he's got a plan, but it's like, you know, we can't see it yet, and we get kind of distraught, and we don't understand why this is happening and how could this fit into that plan, and we fall to pieces.
That's just being human. I know one of the things that we look at is that, you know, we have so much faith and we're believing. But then there's those times when
yes,
we just fall apart. We just say, okay, God, where are you in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
And by doing this, God moves. He moves on our behalf. He comforts us through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he tells us through his word is that I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
So he's not that he's forgotten us. Sometimes it gives us, when we fall to pieces, is it gives us an opportunity to draw closer to God, because in those times, that's when we need to draw closer to
Him. Amen.
And we do that through prayer, through praise, through our just the reading of the word, is that it keeps us centered. You know,
sometimes,
you know, it's just like on a teeter-totter, we can be up, we can be down, but once you get into the momentum or you get into the habit of praising God before your feet hit the floor,
amen.
And you begin to see
God's
presence, you begin to
right.
feel his loving nature, his loving kindness through all situations and say, okay, you know, okay, God, I just had a kind of a toxic meltdown here. I've bawled my eyes out. I've, you know, kind of stomped around and been a little bit aggravated with you. But, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. But he'll tell me and say, Betty Lou.
Betty Lou.
Okay.
Betty Lou.
It's okay. I've got this. Just give me time to work. And I think it gives us, for lack of a vocabulary word, sometimes waiting is hard.
Oh, yeah.
But it gives us tenacity to hold on.
That's right.
And to keep believing. And eventually, God is in control, people.
Yeah.
And he will come through. It may not be in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And some things just don't happen when we want them to. But, you know, when God works, his clock work is just perfection, perfect timing. Perfect.
Well, it's so true, everything you just said. And in verse 31, Jesus says, before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me. And he says this, and he goes on, there is a scripture that says, and he quotes Zechariah 13:7. And this was written probably about 400 to 500 years before this event happened. It was prophesied that there would be this time, this night, and those around Jesus. It said right here, I'll strike the shepherd, helter skelter, the sheep will be scattered. In other words, Jesus is saying, I know this is going to happen. And you know what? Mm-hmm. This helps me because God is never caught off guard. He's never caught in surprise. He's never going, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to you. He knows. He says right here, I know how you guys are going to react tonight. I know what's about to happen, and guess what? That was already prophesied that you'd fall to pieces. Talk to us, Cindy, on this. I love the fact that God knows how we're going to react and what's going to be our attitude, but he also knows the solution and how he's going to pull us out of it. But go ahead.
This was part of the master plan.
Master plan.
I like the way my Bible puts it. I have the old faithful King James.
There you go. We got a King Jameser right here, Nan. Your fellow King James person, Cindy Henderson.
I love the Message and the Passion Version and several other versions, but my Old Faithful Bible happens to be King James.
Okay, so, that's cool.
And yeah, she's a good one. So it says, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad.
Yes.
This was the plan to get the gospel to the rest of the world.
Whoa.
This is a perfect example of God working everything for our good.
Amen.
Even before we're His. This happened way before I was born, way before I was saved.
Right.
But that was for me. He did that for me.
Right.
So that the gospel would get to where I was, and I would have a chance to be in Him. So it's just part of the master plan right here.
Master plan, personal for each of us. So, dear audience member out there, God knew you. He knows everything about you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what makes you angry. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what makes you sad. He knows where you need comfort, because that's who He is. He is Almighty God who knows all of us at the same time, which is totally amazing, blows my mind. He knows everything about you. Even Nan knows all the things about every single one of us, Nan, even you. And yeah, cool, huh? She's just going, yeah, cool. And, you know, He knows all those failures, all of those temptations. Like, He knew that the disciples were going to really lose it over what was about to happen that evening, you know? And He says, I know this. He said, but I want us to all to look at the end of verse 32. But after I am raised up. Now, that is as clear as it can be, but it's like the disciples did not even hear that. Because after I am raised up, I, your shepherd, will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee. Matthew 28:10, we don't have to turn there, but that's what He said to the women at the tomb. He said, tell the disciples to go on to Galilee. I'll be there, you know? Mm-hmm. And He says, I will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee. And, you know, there's so often He is leading the way to the plan He has for us. And He's our shepherd. And it's all because He's the resurrected Lord that He can see all this and know all this. Just blesses me. Peter broke in, verse 33. Peter broke in. Of course, time for Peter. Even if everyone else falls to pieces on account of you, I won't. Famous last words. I love this. Peter, even if everyone else falls to pieces, I won't. And then Jesus responds in verse 34, Betty, I want you to cut your take and then we'll go to Cindy. Don't be so sure, Jesus says. This very night, before the rooster crows up the dawn, you will deny me three times. Peter says, even if I had to die with you, I would never deny you. And everybody else joined in and said, me too, me too. Betty.
That's a hard one, Pastor.
Why is that a hard one?
It's a hard one for me because you mean well, but God already knows what's going to happen.
He knows our humanity.
A few hours down the road,
right?
Because God is Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is about to happen.
Right.
And I think, and even in all of our lives, had Peter really been listening to what Jesus was saying, back in the day we used to call him, you know, he had a very sense, Peter did, of just spouting whatever came out of his mouth.
You're right.
And Peter said, I can hear, sitting around, a table and hear somebody go, nah, I won't be doing that. Nope.
Right.
You get out of that presence and you get back into a worldly situation as we would probably talk about here in just a little bit, of what happens when someone says, hey, weren't you with him? No, because he was out of the presence of Almighty
right.
God.
Yeah.
He was not following what the Spirit was, what the Lord was trying to tell him. Had he, and I think about this very, I think I thought about this all day long. What if Peter hadn't denied him? But Jesus already knew that he would, because Jesus is all-knowing. His Father prepared him, I think, each step of the way to the cross. Everything was laid out. The plans were laid. You know, it was set in stone, so to speak.
Yeah.
That he knew. He knew what Peter was going to do. But Peter's, no. You know, I would never do that. I love you. But again, once he got out of the presence, once he got out mm-hmm. of the
yeah.
the sanctimonious mm-hmm. area that he was in, I just couldn't even imagine sitting and having, you know, breaking bread with Jesus. Is I would be so in awe that, yes, sir. Oh, I am? What are you talking about? I mean, if I'd been Peter, mm-hmm. I'd say, what do you mean I'm going to deny you three times?
Right.
He didn't do it, though. He didn't do it because God had laid out the plan.
Woo, so right on. Cindy, talk to us.
Well, I don't think they quite got it.
No, they didn't get it.
They did not know who they were with.
No. I still think at this point, even though he says, after I'm raised up, I don't think they got that. It's like they didn't hear that selective hearing, you know?
I don't think they understood the importance of the moment. I don't think they understood that they were in the presence of royalty.
Right.
At least they hadn't understood it yet. But what I like is I believe that, you know, in our lives, our experiences and the things we go through are what we need for our ministry.
Exactly.
That they prepare us to yes. reach a certain group of people.
It does.
Or have a certain message. And I think that this was a huge part of the preparation that made Peter everybody knows him.
Right.
We know him still all these years later, and it's because moments like this prepared him for the great ministry that he was going to have. And I think, again, it's a case of God taking the bad, turning it around.
Absolutely. And I totally agree with everything you both said. And I want to add, I think we needed to see this man who Jesus says, you know, upon this rock, I will build my church, right?
Mm,
but he's
yeah.
really, you know, but Peter, you're going to be really, really important in the kingdom of God. And yet we see the humanity of Peter that is, it is so where God wants us all to realize how much we need him. You know, mm-hmm. every single moment we need him, because we can so easily get off course. We can so easily stumble in our faith. We can so easily get yeah. discouraged and not want to read our Bibles or not want to praise God, because that's the humanness of us. And that's why I have to play the song, Lord, I Need You.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do. And so does Cindy
Lord,
and Betty.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your
grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Song. I love that song. Doesn't it just show what how needy people we are? Every single one of us. We never get it all together. We never have it all figured out, Cindy. That is the beauty of it, that we need him, don't you think?
And it goes back to communion.
It does. Yes. Go ahead.
It's a reminder
that we
need him. And that's why I love being able to take it every day.
Right.
You get up and you make it part of your routine, but it you can't let it become routine. Grab it as you're flying out the door to work, but you have to take a moment and you pause and it's like, just, I need you.
Yes.
I need you today.
Yes.
This is my reminder that I'm renewing my covenant with you today, and be with me today.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something. It's about communion that is, it's powerful. It's powerful. And I think that the reminder to us can be powerful, and that we can use it to not be Peter.
Exactly.
In this moment.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's too easy for us to become complacent. We're going to see this in a minute, what Jesus is talking about how we are as humans and how we can become very lazy and kind of complacent and like, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. But, I mean, if we're not working on that relationship, it's like a relationship, an earthly intimate relationship, whether it be a marriage or somebody you're with or whatever the case may be. If you're not working on that, and I think we can all say we're guilty of times in our lives where we just take that person, whoever that person is, for granted in our lives, and we really don't work on it, or we don't, you know, maybe we just come to an impasse, you know, and it's just like not working, whatever. And with our relationship with God, it's not like that human dynamic. With God, it is, it says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. James 4:7-8. You know, it starts with us giving our hearts to him, giving our lives to him, surrendering to him, saying, here, God, this is what I want. And sometimes you got to do it a lot. Sometimes you have to do it many times during the day because you get so off course so easy. Betty, talk to us about that. We need you. Lord, I need you.
Well, it's just like starting a day. You know, the most important meal of the day is breakfast. And it's like starting without God is like starting without breakfast to some people. And if you start doing it day after day after day, it becomes a habit, a good habit. Rather than wake up, hit the floor running, and never even give him a passing thought.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's what even happens in relationships, you know, with us, is that, you know, we get up and we don't talk to the person that we're, you know, we're husband, wife, you know, just maybe it's just friends or whatever. But if you don't develop that relationship and you don't keep key communication,
that's exactly
between
right.
you and the Lord, is that things start falling apart. And that's why in that song, you know, I need thee every hour.
Yes.
And it's running out the door, not telling him how much you love him. It's like, you know, even telling him, say, hey, Lord, give me 10 minutes when I get in my car, I'll turn my praise music on. Just give me a few more minutes. Is again, you're communicating with him, and it's key. It's key to a healthy relationship with the Lord, because if you go out the door, you don't say anything about him, you don't say anything to the partner or your relationship that you're in, you just run out the door. I think that it troubles the person here, but it even troubles God. It's like, wait a minute. I thought I was first in your life. I want you to communicate with me. And when we do that communication, Pastor and Cindy and Nan, it gives us such a peaceful day.
Yes.
It, you know, things seem to fall into place. And yes, there may be, you know, times that the devil comes in and tries to put fear or anxiety in, and then you have to remind him, get thee behind me, Satan, because my Lord is with me. He is never going to leave me. And no matter what you do to me today, you know, I've got the word, you know, I've got the shield of faith. I've got the word of God in, you know, in me. There's nothing you can do to me today that can touch me, because I have a God that is greater. And those are the things that when we are faced with that, if we can just confront the enemy and tell him, leave me alone, or just keep asking God, thank you and praise you for the things that I have in my life and for the things that are going to become part of my life here in the near future.
Yep.
It's just, again, communication.
It is communication, and that's why Jesus talks so much in the Word about spending time in his presence, spending time talking to him, telling him our needs. We're going to get back to this discussion, which is excellent, here with Cindy and with Betty in just a moment. We want to remind you that if you miss shows that we have, you can go right here to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and go to the name of this show, Living the Good Life, or our Thursday night show, Go Yard, which is our life coaching counseling show with Dr. Angel and me, my other name, Mama Mac. Betty, you want to say a minute, something about the Go Yard show, if you don't mind, and tell them about that, 6:06 p.m. Thursday nights, right here, tantalknetwork.com.
Yes. One of the neat things about this show is hitting a home run. Is, you know, there are things in our life that we seem like we're out in left field. And on a baseball field, when you're out left field, sometimes you just don't have the tools that you need. You have a mitt, but you think, okay, God, what else can I do? Is Dr. Angel Falzoni and Mama Mac give you ways to help you overcome some of those complexities in our life, helping you to set boundaries in a relationship. It's just free counseling that you can hear every Thursday night and be able to maybe set some goals for yourself. And I know some of the things that you've talked about in the past have really helped me, especially about relationships. And they're dynamic conversations that will help you through your week.
Yes.
And listen, because it is free counseling.
Free counseling. We love doing it. And the website for that show is goyard2014.org, O-R-G. It's an O-R-G. We began Go Yard in 2014, so that's the website, goyard2014.org. This website is www.bohmglobal.com. It became global a few years back when this radio show went global, And also that we are on starcomradionetwork.com. If you missed any of our shows live, just catch up on Saturday or Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern for this show, Living the Good Life, on Starcom Radio.